Clayton, if you will come forward. And he's going to read out of Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 14. How many of you all have the New King James Version Bible? Let's see it. Okay, we want to see more hands than as we go. Again, what we had said is we'd like to have for the public reading here and for your church Bible as we read together New King James Version. But Clayton's going to be reading this morning the passage, and as he's doing that, I'm going to go ahead and put on my mic. Go ahead. Everyone stand for the reading of the Word.
I don't have a New King James either, but I have an internet that does, so we'll read it off this paper. Ephesians 5, 1 through 14. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you, as it is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.
I'm kind of envious this morning of Brother Elvin. Baby dedications are something that are a lot of fun to do, and I would really love to do it this morning, even in Jerry's, my namesake even, but with me sharing this morning and also doing commissioning, I just felt like I needed someone to do the baby dedication. But thank you, Elvin, for sharing in that this morning. There's not a one of us here as one of God's people who does not want to have the Holy Spirit in our lives, full and overflowing. As you recall, the other Sunday, Reflecting Light in a Dark World was my message title. And again, I shared from Ephesians 5, and Clayton, as you see, shared again, just rereading some of these scriptures. And I'm not going to speak a whole lot into the first 7 verses. I want to address 8 through 14, so I'm going to 15 to 21 is where I want to end up this morning. And so I want to go fast, so hang on and listen, if you would. If we could understand, if we could catch on to what Paul is saying, and I don't think he would say that you are any different than the church at Ephesus that he was sharing with. But if you could get it, then what Clayton read, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. If you would get it, we could sit down and go home. But I think Paul understood, you don't get it. But not only do you not get it, but the church in Ephesus didn't get it. So he goes on to explain himself and to say, here's what this means of what it translates into when you think of being an imitator of God as dear children. And he says, and walk in love. Well, if you're going to be an imitator of God, of course you're going to walk in love. So it's sort of, it almost seems redundant in what he's saying. But then he goes on, as Christ has loved us and gave himself for us, and so on and so on. And then as, just in a quick review, the other Sunday, I shared about the fornicators, the covetous, and the uncleanliness. And the uncleanliness, there's some of the commentators would say that that could have to do with a immoral relationship that isn't even natural between a man and a woman, but could be between people of the same gender. That, it said, could be what he was referring to when he talked about the uncleanliness. But those are three things that he said that if you live and if you practice those things, you can just write it down that you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes on to list some other things. And then as he goes on and lists those other things, we could also go back to Galatians 5 and we could see a list of these things that are included in some of these things that if you live like this, you will also not inherit the kingdom of heaven. But he says specifically those three things, don't even let it be named among you. It would be a shame and a disgrace for those of us if we're called believers, that would be even be once named among us. Then quickly dropping down to verse 6, it says, let no one deceive you. And again this morning, brothers and sisters, I do believe what he is talking about here this morning and what he's referring to in this context of this scripture passage is the context of believers. The context of people who have named the name of Christ. And he says, let no one deceive you with empty words. And I think this morning, brothers and sisters, as I was studying, as it came upon me and as I kept thinking, these empty words can actually be words from God's Word. These could actually be words that are truth. But the person who is deceiving you is not living out these very words as what he's teaching you. Because you could go back to Galatians 5, and I won't do it for the sake of time this morning, but those fruit of the Spirit that he's talking about in there, I don't think there's an option, brothers and sisters, that we can pick and choose which one of those fruit that we're going to apply to our lives. But I believe us as believers, as we live out the Christian life, every one of those fruit is going to be manifest in our life. Period. Someone who is coming at you with empty words can be one like, well, I was listening and he actually, and we have those voices out there today. We have a lot of those voices out there today to where they quote scripture. They quote God's word. They quote it verbatim. But when they close the book and they go home and now you watch what they do and you watch how they live, you watch how they talk, you watch how they conduct themselves. The words that they spoke to you and to you were empty words. Says, don't let anyone deceive you. Again, I don't think we have to worry about those people that are out there that do not name the name of Christ. Those people out there that say, there is no God. I believe in all gods. Those are not the people that he's telling us here to concern ourselves with this morning. But it's those that are among us that we look at and we would recognize them as being one of us, one of God's people. Then he goes on verse 7. And it seems like what Paul does in so many of his writings is he tells you what he's going to say and then he says it and then he tells you what he just said. And that's kind of what he does as he goes through this whole passage. Because verse 7 again is sort of a redundant statement. It says, therefore do not be partakers with them. Notice if he says, don't be deceived with empty words, now he says, maybe he'd say, you've understood that, right? Well, oh, maybe you haven't understood it. Okay, don't be partakers with them. Don't have anything to do with them. Now, jumping on to verse 8. For you were once darkness. It doesn't even say here that you were once in darkness. It just says you were once darkness. You were once the very thing that people could look at and look at evil and look at Satan and ungodliness. And they could follow you and they could know that Satan would be well pleased. It says this is who you were. Who you were, but not who you are. But it says, but now you are light. And it doesn't say just you are light, but it says, but now you are light in the Lord. I think the other way we could say it is he's saying, now you are a reflection of the light of Jesus Christ that is shining through you. And a little bit later, we'll look into that again, of what that means for the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shining through you. What does that mean? Once you were darkness, but now you are children. Now you are light. Walk as children of light. Again, you were darkness, now you're light. Walk as children of light. Again, he is reiterating what he just reiterated. How many of you parents here this morning have ever told your children, and it has to be those you have who are older, who have had children that are maybe 12 and on up, probably. But when your child was fixing to go out to be with friends, or they were going off to camp, or they were going off with a youth group, how many of you, and I want to see by raising of hands, how many of you have ever told your children something to the effect of, remember who you are? Yeah. And the ones that you raise your hand, there's this smug smile on your face. I think that's what he's saying here this morning. You are children of the light. Remember who you are. Walk as someone who is a reflection of the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then he goes on to say, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And again, back in Galatians, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and all it is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and all of these things. Again, he's saying, this is what you are. This is how you need to live. And there is not an option that you get to live, that you could get to live just part of these fruit of the Spirit out in your life. You need to have evidence of every one of the fruit of the Spirit. Finding out what is acceptable with the Lord. Why does he keep doing this, but he keeps going back and saying again, well, how do we find out what is acceptable with the Lord? Miss Martha Hirschberger, I'd like you to come up and read Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. And I'll let you come up to the small podium. That's fine. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and verse 9, right there.
8 and 9.
Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you.
Stay there. Just for a moment. How many of you, I'm going to embarrass you, okay? Remember back in the first verse, it said, be imitators of Christ. How can you be an imitator of Christ? She just told you this morning to watch how she lives her life. And she said, if you watch how I live, the God of peace will be with you. You can sit down. How many of us really would be bold enough to say that, to say, brothers and sisters, you watch me. Just, I'm not saying watch me how I do this morning. I'm saying watch me how I live my life Monday through Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And I picked on Martha this morning. I thought she could handle it. There was going to be some runner-ups if she wasn't here. But these things which you have both heard and seen in me, that do. So how does somebody understand what the will of God is? It's by watching you. And if you're afraid to tell somebody that, if you're afraid to acknowledge that, then we need to look back and check and see what is going on in our own life. That is a tremendous, bold thing to say, but it's also a very soul-searching thing to say. Then he moves on. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Again, he just got done telling us several verses before as to watch out for those that deceive you with empty words. He says, don't be partakers with those that come at you with empty words. Now he's saying, don't have any fellowship. And there's many definitions that you could come up with the word fellowship. But as we think of fellowship, it's a bond. It's a connection. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. I'm not saying this, brothers and sisters. This is what God's Word says. And again, I really believe that Paul was talking in the context of believers and talking in the context of not having fellowship with those that are deceiving you with empty words. Those are the ones that are naming the name of Jesus Christ. It's pretty serious this morning. That's why I need you. That's why you need me. That's why we need us. That's why I need accountability. That's why you need accountability. That's why whenever and whatever I say and whenever and whatever you say, you need to expect somebody or somebodies to come to you and say, I don't agree with that biblically. I think you're wrong. We need to be able to accept that. We need to be able to receive that and then to look into it. And if it's wrong, to change it. If it's not wrong, then you need to change your mind. That's what we need as brothers and sisters, as being accountable and as being having that fellowship. That's what's going to cause a deeper growth in our own life. That's what's going to cause that deep-rootedness in the life of the church family, is when we're willing to go to each other and to say, you're wrong. You are wrong in that. And that you, as I come to you, or you as you go to her, or you as you go to him, that you'll just accept it that if somebody does that to you, that they're not doing it because they're spiteful towards you, or that they're having a vendetta that they're wanting to fill out against you, but it's because we want to be sure that God's truth, and only God's truth, is manifested. Then again, he goes on to say in verse 12, for it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Brothers and sisters, that's pretty serious stuff when you think of this as being somebody who potentially is having influence in God's church. Somebody, maybe you could even hear him on the radio and it's like, wow, that's a good preacher. Verse 13 says, but all things that are exposed are made manifested by the light. What is the light? It's not you and it's not me. But the light is Jesus Christ that is exposed through your influence and through my influence as we allow the light of Jesus Christ to shine through your and my life. By the very way that you live, you will expose those who are trying to deceive, those who are deceived. By the very way that you live, and then even sometimes you might want to use the words that you need to rebuke. Those things are necessary. I shudder away from that. I don't want to do that. But biblically, we don't have another alternative. Whatever makes manifest is light. So whatever makes an exposure or causes an exposure is light. God's word. God's truth is that light. And it is what is lacking today in the world around us. There is no absolute truth anymore. Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Isaiah 60, verse 1. But awake and arise from the dead. It's like, are you willing? Are you willing to make a fool of yourself for the name of Christ? Are you willing to go and beat down the door of the house when the house is on fire and in the middle of the night, yank those people out of bed, their hair's not made up and their breath smells like dog? But you're willing to even take your muddy boots across their carpet that was just cleaned and say, you got it. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm sleeping. I don't care. The house is on fire. Brothers and sisters, the house is on fire. Awake. We got to go. I think that's sort of what he's saying. That even no matter what, I'm not going to walk up to the door and to think, well, it just looks new. And what will they think if I kick it down? I mean, they'll be angry. Jay, does that ever come into your mind as a firefighter? That maybe these people be mad that you kicked their door in? Probably doesn't, does it? By the way, I didn't know how that fall was going to go, but it was intentional. Okay, verse 15 says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. That we don't need to explain, right? Who all knows what circumspectly means? Raise your hand. Okay, I didn't think so. Why would you use a word like that? Why not put a word in there that you can understand? Well, I think I've discovered the reason why that word circumspectly is in there, because there's not one word that describes it. Circumspectly, in the dictionary, had four definitions at least, and in those four definitions had sub-definitions. Circumspectly means to be watchful. Circumspectly means to be discreet, cautious, and prudent. Well, if I'd asked you what it means to be prudent, some of you probably wouldn't know that. Watchful, we kind of understand that. But all of these are things and words that describe the word circumspectly. The word discreet is a big one that had many other definitions for it. And that is, what does it say? See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So walk circumspectly. Be discreet in the way you walk. And one of those things to be is be trustworthy in the way you live. We talk about truth, and we talk about living out God's truth and speaking truth. But there are times when there is truth that you know about somebody else. That if you share that, you are not being circumspect. You are not being discreet. Because you're sharing it just because it's some good news. It'll make you lick your chops, man. You'll never believe this one. And that's hard. That's hard sometimes to do that, to just, no, I will not say that. Because it doesn't benefit anyone. And it, all it will do is it will tear down this person that it's referring to. It says, walk circumspectly, not as a fool, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Remember, the house is on fire. Watch what you're doing. Be careful how you walk. Be discreet and be cautious and be prudent, because the days are evil. Now here, watch this. He goes again. Therefore, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Miss Martha told you this morning what the will of the Lord is. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, honest, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. There's lots of things, brothers and sisters, that you can do to fill your time. Rebecca is going to fill her time for the next while serving others, not even knowing what all that's going to mean. But she's willing to leave home and to serve others. That's one way to redeem the time. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise. He's just, again, I'm telling you again what I just said. And then I'm going to say what I just told you, what I just said before. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation. How many of you know what dissipation means? Didn't think so. A wasting by misuse or a mental distraction. That fits pretty good. A mental distraction. How many people do you know who use drugs, whether it's drugs in a liquid form or alcohol, whatever, to cause a mental distraction? Lots of people do. That's a lot of times what causes people to use something, is in order that it causes a mental distraction, because I cannot deal with life as it's being dealt out to me, for whatever that reason is. Be not drunk with wine. And I'm going to add something in here, brothers and sisters. I am sick of arguing the fact that Jesus turned water into wine. And I'm not even going to say that it was, let's even say that for this conversation, that it was alcoholic. But nowhere will you find in Scripture that it uses alcohol as a positive thing. Except, Paul says, stop drinking only water, use a little wine for your stomach's sake, for your many infirmities. He said that as a concession, not as a command. How many times do I look at something, I say, well, you know what? I mean, I could stand right here and I probably still won't stumble. You know, I mean, I'll still be up here. What would be the problem with just backing up and saying, you know what? I don't think anywhere in God's scriptures that it would say, if I don't drink any alcohol, that I might risk not going to heaven. I don't think you'll find it. If you do, I'm open to hear. Ah, he does not just tell you what not to do, but he tells you, don't do this, but do this. Don't you like that? Kids, don't you like that when your parents just tell you, don't do this, and don't do that either, and don't do this over here either? Why? Because I told you so. There are those times, children, you know that, right? There are those times, parents, that they have to just understand, it's because I did tell you so, and you're going to do it. Because there's not enough time in that segment to explain it, because there's a train coming and you need to get off the track. There you go, Elvin. That's why it's there. Y'all remember this from the other week, but this is nicer. I won't spill. Be filled with the Spirit. This was my example the other week. I didn't have the tray the other week. How many say that's full? Come on, those of you with me. It's full. Okay. Be filled with the Spirit. When you become a believer, when you name the name of Jesus Christ and give Him everything, this is you. You are filled and overflowing with the Spirit. But you know what? I don't know that I can see anybody through the light that these rocks let me see through. Okay. I want everybody to stand. I want you to go to somebody that's not your wife or your friend or no, or a peer. Go to them and either ask them something about their life or say something nice to them. Go. Quick, quick, quick. Every way my Jesus is changing me. Since I've made the turnabout face, I've been growing in His grace. My Jesus is changing me. He lives in me. My blessed Savior, I'm not the same person that I used to be. As long as I keep going, He keeps growing. Till one day perfect, I will be. Something like that. Thank you. You may sit down. Did you think about it as you were doing that? There was rocks coming out of here. They weren't this time, but there should have been. I can't chew gum and walk at the same time. How many would say that this is full and overflowing? Still. Okay. So we could continue on. And what you did is you were speaking to one another. Words of affirmation. You were concerned with the life of someone else. In whatever example that was, in however shallow of a way that it was. And it was shallow because you didn't have much time to think about it. Jay, you, Timmy, you, come up here. Dwight, you. As they're coming up, we're going to sing a song. Just us. As they're coming up here, find page 531, someone. I'll sing lead, and then Timmy's going to sing first tenor, and Jay's going to sing tenor, and Dwight's going to sing bass. 531. I got this last Saturday in the mail. Out of 1,000 people that would send me a card, this man would have ranked probably at around 907th of not sending me one. Here's what he said. It was good to see you at convention with your cheerful smile and exuberance for life. It was encouraging for me to see your passion for the unsung heroes, as Jude says in verse 3, earnestly contend for the faith. Press on, brother. Give it all you got. This is probably the single most important, meaningful card that I have ever gotten in my life. Understanding that my wife has given me some nice cards. But I'm talking about at a time when I needed it. For this card to come in the mail at 4 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon when my life needed this. Brothers and sisters, this is what you can do. Anybody who can write can do this. And especially do it to somebody that doesn't even expect it. But I am convinced that it was nothing short of God Almighty Himself prodding this brother and saying, write Jerry a card. That's speaking to one another. What you just done with that was speaking to one another. That as we do that, we keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. Ready? This songs and hymns. And I hope it'll go well for all our practice that we've done. Let's do one verse. Don't raise your hand if you're not sincere. How many of y'all were blessed to hear that? Thank you. It was worth all the effort that we put forth practicing. But do you see what I'm saying? Something as simple as four guys getting together and singing a song to you made an impression on you. You can sing that song, whether you can sing or not, but you can sing a different type of song through the cards, through the words, or literally sing. How do you be filled with the Holy Spirit? Singing to one another, or speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. Okay, so if you can't sing, Elvin, this one's for you. Making melody in your heart. I mean, God sees our heart, right? You can still sing, Elvin. I love Elvin because I can pick on him and he'll be okay. Be filled with the Spirit. Okay, that was one way, and that's what I kind of looked at. There's three things here. Verse 19 was one way, verse 20, and then verse 21 is the third way. The other way is verse 20. It says, giving thanks always to God for everything. And that thing makes me nervous, but I'm going to leave it. How many times have you felt like not giving thanks? When the burdens are heavy, my heart throbs with woe. It's like, is there anybody that cares? Is there anybody that even knows? I know you faced those times. I have faced those times. We have all faced those times. Oh, there comes a sweet whisper. Giving thanks always. So in the midst of hard times, in the midst of you not even knowing which way to turn, give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. Last but not least, and I'll be done. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. The other night, I told you the definition of submit, and today I'll say it again. The definition of submit is to stop fighting or resisting something that you have been resisting or opposing. It means give it up. Stop it. Doesn't even mean that you agree with the person that or the thing that you're having to submit to. It just means stop opposing it. Give it up. So what he's saying is submitting to one another, which means in a group, if there would be two people here this morning, we would have two opposing views on probably many things. I know because I'm married to my wife. There's many things that we don't agree on. There's many things that there's many things that she sees different than I see. But we submit to one another. In the church body, we submit to one another because we're family. This is home. And we find as we submit, this thing that I was holding out for isn't nearly as big of a thing as when I submit and I have that fellowship, that warm, close, deep-rooted fellowship that will grow from us learning and hearing each other and submitting and giving up of my own ideas. Thank you all for humoring me this morning and listening. Rebecca, your time is here. Come on up.